Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I would like to begin by reading Psalm 105, verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done." A special thank you to also to Dan and Neil for the invitation to come and share with you some of the remarkable things God has taken me and my family through. Psalm 77. Verse 14 reads, "You are the God who performs miracles." I have been given a remarkable story, and I will come to that in a minute, but first a brief background. I was privileged to be brought up in a Christian home in Peterhead, but even though I attended Sunday school as a youngster, I never gave God much thought. I left school and went fishing on the family boat. And a few years later, met Francis and started attending Peterhead Baptist Church. One night, the pastor spoke about the wide and narrow roads of life, in that we were all on one or the other. And that really challenged me at night, because at the time, I saw myself on the fence. I was convicted of my sin that night. I asked for the Lord for his forgiveness and to come into my heart. I was saved. Many years have passed since then and seem to have flown by. I'm sure we can all relate to. We were married. I became skipper. We had three great children. Then we got a second boat, etc. The fishing business was sold in 2003. I worked on various research vessels for a few years, then got a job ashore in Aberdeen, 2011. Now, I was on my way to work in June 2014 when I was involved in a very serious car crash a few miles from my house. I was taken by air ambulance to Aberdeen Royal Infirmary. Sadly, the driver of the other car died. Shortly afterwards, the police advised my family that I had been seriously injured in a car crash and they made their way to Aberdeen. On arrival, the doctor listed my injuries and stated quite clearly how serious they were. When he said, "I should make you aware, we wouldn't normally expect someone with these injuries to make it to hospital." Extensive surgery followed, 13 hours the first day, followed by two further 8-hour operations. I'd sustained two collapsed lungs, a skull fracture, brain injury, lacerated spleen, two spine fractures, and extensive fractures to both legs and forearms. It was said one day in the fracture clinic, "Your upper arms are the only long bones in your body that weren't broken." The result has left me with 65 pieces of titanium holding me together. A doctor remarked one day, "I try not to use the word miracle in any context, but it really is a miracle you're alive. Medically speaking, you shouldn't be here." I spent 12 days in intensive care. Most of those, I was in a coma. Francis has described intensive care as a real leveler. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have, or what you've done. Suddenly life is so precious. Every patient is in a critical condition and receives the best available medical care. The only thing that really matters is if you have Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Without Christ, there's no hope, no peace, there's nothing. With Christ, there's great hope, no matter what happens. For what hope have the godless when he is cut off, when God takes away his life? Job 27, verse 8. One night, when I was in intensive care, a consultant advised Francis that I had developed an infection from the ventilator. This was nae uncommon, but he went on to say, if the infection spreads to the metalwork, it's beyond treatment. Now, Francis texted family and close friends and asked them to pray specifically against infection. Remarkable outcome. The infection never spread and completely cleared up. Despite extensive fractures, I never took another infection throughout almost 6 months in hospital. On one particular occasion, the entire orthopedic ward had a stomach bug. Almost every patient was affected, including some staff. But again, this was kept for me. Now, it might be seen by some as just good fortune, but remember the lacerated spleen. According to the NHS, one of the main functions of the spleen is to help fight infection. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. James 5:16. Now, there have been many doctors, consultants, and medical staff who have expressed their amazement at my recovery. No doubt, I'm sure this is more answered prayer. It says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Matthew 21, verse 22. A few months after the accident, I saw a consultant from general surgery. He said, I was there when you were first brought into A&E and saw the initial scans and x-rays. It's quite amazing to see you sitting here. He said, I helped stop the bleeding and managed to save your spleen. But considering the other injuries, he felt his contribution was fairly minimal. At my first appointment in a neuropsychology clinic, it's a big word, eh? The doctor was also amazed. Her words were, considering the brain injury you've sustained, it's quite amazing we're sitting here having this conversation. At a further follow-up appointment, another doctor gave more details of the injury and said more than once, given the damage to your brain, which was widespread and extensive, you've made quite a remarkable recovery. Now, there have obviously been several appointments with an orthopaedic consultant. On each occasion, he has simply said, your recovery is quite amazing. The first time I met him, I was in a wheelchair at the time. And after studying the x-rays, he said, considering your extensive injuries, he said, I wouldn't have been surprised if any one of the fractures had taken 3 years to recover from. Never mind the inevitable complications. But he said, but to have them all together and be sitting here like this is really quite amazing. Just before we left, he said, Mr. Buchan, he said, it's been great to meet you. He said, although we've never met before, he said, I know all about you. He then laughed and he says, your x-rays have been on display in the tea room for weeks. You can see for yourself that God is in control of all things. And if it's his will, he continues to perform miracles. Another unexplained fact which many people find difficult to accept. Throughout this whole experience, the accident, surgery, recovery, all followed by extensive physiotherapy, I've never felt any pain. This is truly remarkable. But we probably shouldn't be surprised. Job 5 verse 9 reads, "He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted." Philippians 4, 6 and 7 read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Although over 5 years have now passed since the accident, I still find it difficult to explain the peace I've experienced throughout. Undoubtedly, I've been held up by many prayers. But as the verse says, it really is beyond understanding. I don't remember at any time not completely accepting the situation God had put me in. I never doubted or questioned it. I really was so thankful to be alive. The only question I've ever had, and still do, is why was I spared? For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2. This whole experience has made the inevitability of death very real to me. Yes, I know we all know about death. I'm sure we've all experienced the loss of a loved one at some point. But it's not something we often think about. I'm sure it never crossed my mind as I left for work at summer morning. But the Bible speaks about the brevity or briefness of life. And I would urge you all to give serious thought to where you'll spend eternity. Death can come at any time to any of us in an instant. I'm living proof of the power of prayer. I've been at times completely overwhelmed by the number of people who've prayed for me. Many times people I'd never met before. It's quite amazing how prayer requests are passed throughout God's people. I find this very humbling, as people die from less serious accidents every day. I know many people here prayed for me, as Don said, and I can only thank you. If I were to try and sum up everything, I would have to say pray about everything. Nothing is too big and nothing is too small to bring before the Lord and leave it in His hands. I recently published Spared by Grace, which, having sustained a serious brain injury, is a miracle itself and is something that I would never have thought was possible. The book records many answered prayers, from the prevention of infection to access in a suitable wheelchair, and how my completely lost wedding ring was returned to the eventual completion of the book. My prayer is that it will strengthen people in their faith, and there have already been some great reviews. This is very encouraging, and I'll share a couple with you. A truly amazing story of grace. It's a story of miracle after miracle and has left me moved, encouraged, and in awe of God. The next one, if you don't believe in miracles, just read this story. I guarantee you will change your position. Doctors, friends, and family stand in awe of the work of God and His grace. There are some signed copies at the back for anyone who wants one. All proceeds are going to charity. And I'll finish, you'll be glad to know, with one of Francis's favourite verses. "For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old." Acts 4:22. Thank you.
Come on, put your hands together. That was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think to encapsulate in a few moments a traumatic story like that has just been incredible. The truth of the matter is that there is so much more we could hear. But I want to ask you a few questions, if that's okay, John. Because I guess the key to all this and you sharing your story is the miracle of the whole thing, the power of prayer. But I know that what underlies everything you do is the importance of people connecting with Jesus and having a relationship with him. So I really want to speak to people perhaps that are in this room that think they've got plenty of time or want to live their life, or maybe young people that are playing fast and loose. Because I would imagine that day was just like any other day.
Just like any other day, Neil. I don't remember anything about it.
But basically, it's just setting off to work.
Off to work, just another day. Never get it a thought, and it's funny you should ask that, because I also, maybe because I've come through it and I don't remember it.
Are you okay to stand, eh?
I liken it to flicking a light switch. It's as quick as that, Neil.
Just as quick as that. And this whole thing, I would imagine you, Francis, family, you had so many plans ahead and in the future, looking ahead of what you were going to do, and I guess retirement's always over the hill and all this type of thing. But we're always looking for tomorrow, never expecting that day could change everything so quickly and so rapidly. Whilst you were in hospital, I mean, I'm hearing through your story, there's never once you're sort of, why me, poor me. But come on, share some of your thoughts, because I guess there must have been, you know, do I see my family? Do I, what's the future hold with that? What was going through your head in regard to family and friends?
Well, I really was so thankful to be alive, Neil, but I didn't fully understand or appreciate the injuries to begin with. I hadn't a clue, but I was in any pain.
That's just incredible.
Remarkable, really. But and as I said, the peace, I can't explain it, because I remember, there's a lot of things I didn't remember from the hospital, but sure. I remember thinking that I shouldn't be feeling like this, because I can't walk. And nobody ever said, once you can walk again, or when you can walk again. I thought, well, why am I feeling okay? it's a strange thing.
And I love what you said there earlier, because the truth of the matter, I mean, I, every time I see that picture, John, immediately my eyes go to the car that you were driving, and you notice that, and I'm sort of like, flip, that's a BMW.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and to see the mess of that car, you're suddenly going, my goodness, because it's one of the safest cars, I guess, on the road. I turned to your wife, Frances, just before I came up here, and I says, Frances, I'd love to hear your perspective. And she says, I would just ask John to speak. And I'm like, look, if I get you up, would you just say a few things? So is it okay if Frances comes up and joins us? Is that okay? Have we got time for that? Come on, Frances.
Sorry, okay, man.
Thank you for this. Literally, I turned around, so this is not sort of set up, and I really just wanted to hear, if that's okay, Francis' perspective, because what must that have been like? So I guess if we've got another mic, guys, that we could use, is there something just help us set up? Because we're hearing from John, which was incredible, but I'm also aware that a whole family went through this. So, Francis, from your perspective, come on, just help us here. From what was it like for you from that moment you sort of got that phone call? Is it sort of this daze, or what does that look like?
Well, the police actually came to the door 8:10 that morning. It was my turn to do the school runs, so I wasn't sitting looking out the front room window, which looked onto the Aberdeen Road, not where the accident was, but I would have known there'd been an accident, because I would have seen there was no cars on the road. So the police came to the door about 8:10, and he just said, is this your husband's wallet? He says, there's £20 in it. Now, I'd given John £20 that Monday, and he hadn't spent it. It's his Wednesday.
Still got it.
He's still got it. So I said, yes, that's my husband's wallet. And he says, oh, he's been seriously injured in a road accident and airlifted to ARI. He said, have you any questions? And he said, are you able to go to Aberdeen? And I said, yes. And I thought he meant, do you work? Will you get time off? Do you have another car? I had no idea what he meant. And I said, yes. He said, have you any questions? I said, can my family come with me? And he said, yes. So that was it. We got into the car. Stephanie and Michael were newly married. Their house wasn't ready. They were staying sometimes at our house, sometimes at John and Michelle's. They were at John and Michelle's the night before, so I was phoning them frantically to tell them John had been in an accident, we've got to get to Aberdeen. I had a quick phone call to John's dad and my mum, but I hadn't registered what seriously injured was. It just said he'd been in an accident. We set off for Aberdeen, but of course the road was closed. So we were stuck at Black Hills, couldn't go forward or back. Lorries, buses, were all on that narrow roads. And I just cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, please help us get to Aberdeen. And just at Michael says, oh, I know a way. So we went along a farm track onto the main road. And once we were moving, that's when it began to sink in. I thought, what did he mean, seriously injured? Yeah. Is that a broken leg? Is it his head? Is it his spine? And that's when I really felt the pressure of what had happened.
So once you arrived at hospital, I'm presuming you're taken in, the specialist consultants, whatever, those who are doing the operations, they sit you down, they make you aware of where that's going. You're obviously...
Not really. We were taken into a relative's room. As soon as I saw the relative's room, I knew this is really bad. There was one consultant who relayed everything to us, told us how bad it was, didn't expect John to make it to hospital. And then it was just kind of, I got to see John for maybe 2 minutes before they took him to theatre, but I actually thought he was away. I thought they were just being kind to me, letting me see him. And then he just came back now and again and said that the general surgery team was working on him for so much hours. Then they came back and said that the orthopedic, I can't remember now the exact, but it was a long time.
And I guess this is where the power of prayer kicks in, because you're contacting everybody, and I think we must remind everybody, and John, you would agree with this, never lose sight of the fact that the power of prayer, a conversation, a text message, and because sometimes, as a local church, often when things happen, we make people aware. And
it spreads for that.
Yeah, just...
We really felt it in the room, the power of prayer.
Wonderful.
We really felt upheld, and the text that came in saying we're praying, or a verse, was such an encouragement. And when John came out of hospital, two different folk said to me that they felt the power of prayer in Peterhead that day.
Wow. And how did that affect your faith? Because I get the feeling that your faith was strong. But I guess seeing your husband in intensive care, was there times that your faith waned? I mean, not your trust and belief in God, but just where this whole thing's going to go?
I had a peace like John. God went before me in lots of ways. That Easter, before that accident, I was doing a Bible study with the teenagers at church. Uh-huh. And we were speaking about Jesus' resurrection and how when Jesus died, the disciples were devastated and they could never imagine what God was going to do when God raised Jesus from the dead. We spoke about how nothing's impossible for God, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us who believe. So that was all going through my head. And for the 2 weeks before the accident, I was on the Bible study again. And we were doing Acts 3 through to Acts 4, verse 22. And that's Peter and John went to pray, met a lame man on the way. And the verses there are, it's in Jesus' name that this man was healed. And that last verse that John quoted, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40
Incredible.
Years old. I was reading that verses every day.
How cool is that?
So God went before me.
God went before you. God went before you.
Another way as well is Jamesy, who was singing at Stephanie and Michael's wedding the 2 weeks before, bless the Lord, O my soul. The sun comes up, there's a new day dawning. It's time to sing that song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Wow.
And there was always something to give thanks for when the evening came, even in the darkest days.
How incredible is that, church? How incredible. John, growing up, I've often heard people, or when I've been around folks and I've been encouraging them for their need of committing their lives to Jesus, I've often heard people say to me, well, I tell you what, you know, just before I die, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to enjoy my life, you know, almost implying that the Christianity is not enjoyment. I'm going to enjoy my life, and then on my deathbed, you know, I'll commit my life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone, even in this room, that's thinking that way?
Well, nobody cares at the moment, Neil, when that happens. It's just like that.
Yeah.
But the only guarantee is that the decision needs to be made in advance.
Yeah. So I guess we could say, because of what happened, you didn't have time. If you were not a believer, at that point, you didn't have time to respond to Jesus. And I guess our message would be to everyone in this room, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, it would be the power of the gospel. That Jesus loves us. We are hearing a miraculous story, a true modern-day miracle. If you were reading your Bible and you read this story, you would be going, wow. But you actually get to visualize and see when we read the Bible, when we read these stories, which are so impactful. But the truth is, through God's word, we know a Peter. Through God's word, we know about a layman that was healed. Through God's word, we understand an Apostle Paul. But tonight, you literally get to see and hear and are aware of John and Francis and their story and the power of what God can do. And I guess it would just be right and proper if we can. Can we just bow our heads? Keyboards and guys are just going to come. But I would just say to you, this has been a powerful message that we have heard tonight, both through John, thank you John and Francis, so kind of you, just to hear their story of how God has kept them. But maybe you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never committed your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like that individual that's sitting there going, well, you know what? I'm going to enjoy my life and I'm just going to wait and just before I die, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. My friend, no one knows our time. We don't know our season. And thankfully, John already had a relationship with Jesus, but it reminds us, as to quote his words, of the brevity of life. But the Bible is so true, scripture that we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. His name is Jesus, and he has come that you and I, we may have this eternal life. The truth of the matter is, John's life was spared, but we can truly say that if John hadn't made it, we would have known that he would be in the presence of his Father. We're thankful that he's still here with us. But we know, no doubt about it. But the question is, do you know? Do you know? Do you have an experience with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? I'm not asking that question, do you attend church? I'm asking the question, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And it would only be right in a wonderful service like this to give you opportunity to respond. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, well, Neil, I would just like to hear more. There's been something about John's story that has gripped me and it's really made me think to consider my ways, as the scripture says. Neil, I need to make sure, I need to know, I need to have no doubt in my heart that Jesus Christ is my Lord. That if anything happened to me tonight, that I know that my life is right with God. We would love to pray with you. If that's you, you're here, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or you know that your life is not right with God. Once again, this is not scare tactics, but we want everyone to be aware of the power of belonging to Jesus. So we would love to pray with you. If you're here and you say, Neil, would you pray with me after this service? I want to commit my life to Jesus, or I want to know more about him. Come on, just raise your hand. No one's looking around, but it just helps me. It's an acknowledgement to me of people in the room. It helps me that I can just come after the service and pray with you. Now, let me ask one more time. You're here and you do not know him, and you say, Neil, I want to commit my life to Jesus. Father, we thank you for the power of this testimony. Absolutely incredible. Lord, you are a miracle-working God. And Lord, to look at John and to see him now and be aware of everything that he's went through, we can only say glory to God. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Now, Lord, we pray that this story, the books, the people in Peterhead that are looking on, that literally it will become a lifeline to those that are in need. Our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Would you put your hands together, John and Francis? Thank you, guys.